What's up, everybody? Welcome back to 7 Second Offense. It's been a minute. We got Cody.
I'm back, baby.
We got Jimmy.
Your boy's in. Let's go.
His face is here. Listen, it's been a minute. Got a little sick. Leave that there.
Got
big sick and a lot of COVID tests, a lot of sleeping, but we made it. We are socially distancing on this episode. It's over Zoom. Everybody is a professional on Zoom now. I feel like it's just
definitely,
yeah, it's part of my LinkedIn profile description now. And things are good. We missed a couple episodes. That said, we launched our digital library. So we have that is live, and you can go ahead and click on any of our links in our Instagram profiles. Click on that thing, get that digital library, read a book, watch another podcast. Do you guys link anything else?
I've been bumming.
You can read more than us, and no, there's some great content on there, so make sure you're doing that. And we'll link some more after this episode, and some of the stuff we talk about. But that said, starting out with Under the Sun, the Phoenix Suns are in Orlando. Cody has a little bit of information on what I would like to call takeout gate. Let's hear it, Cody.
I think we should start with Kelly Oubre.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, most of you don't, the Suns get absolutely no media time. Let's take that a step further, right? They're making the playoffs. Guess how many national televised games they will have, Theo, Jimmy?
Oh, I don't even know the answer to this.
Take a guess.
I'm just going to go ahead and just say none.
Okay, big hater.
I mean, I'm hoping Theo? Like...
Well, no, like I want it, but it's like... And we're talking about people hating on the Suns. I'm like, yeah, just gonna screw us.
Oh, you hate don't you hate when people do that when they're like, guess, and then they guess like less than what you were gonna say originally, and they're like, oh, well, actually, it's more than that. I don't know, like 4 or 5.
Yeah, both of you are close. Jimmy takes the dub though.
It actually is none.
It's one.
Stop.
One.
What game?
At least last time I checked.
Are they playing like the Clippers or something? In that game,
it got to be somebody. But that's the last time I checked. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Nice. Good news. Okay, so yeah. Kelly Oubre.
Let's move on from there. Back to Kelly Oubre.
We're playing the Clippers on the fourth, by the way.
Are we?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Kelly Oubre, I'm going to read this tweet. He says to all my at NBA bros. Let me get some context. First of all. The bubble so far has been awful for players. So right. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the posts, but the food they're posting is absolutely horrifying.
Bro, did you see, I think it was like, man, it was like Isaiah Thomas or somebody like that tweeted like a picture of the salad. And then he was like, there's no way LeBron's going to eat this.
Yes. There are rooms. And now think about this. Like, these are high-end multimillionaires.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And these dudes are in a hotel room that you and I,
bro, that's crazy.
Would be in. And so you know they're miserable. It's small.
Bro, they don't even fit in the beds at that point.
No. Rondo didn't even have a TV in his room. It's crazy. Yeah, there's cockroaches.
It's just prison.
Dude. Yeah, Adam Silver is wilding for this.
Okay.
On top of it, Disney World opens back up.
Yo.
While the players are there. Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, this whole thing has been a nightmare. But the NBA is trying to code. J.R. Smith was on live and gets a text from the NBA and says, hey, go off live. You're exposing too much.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we'll link it. It's hilarious.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. The bubble's not good. Anywho, fast forward.
Yeah.
Kelly Oubre, 7/11 of 2020, 1:07 p.m., tweets, to all my NBA bros, Postmates delivers to the hotel. You just have to go out and meet the delivery person at the hotel entrance. Security will not hold the food for you or help. Yeah, the food whack, but we're here for the bigger purpose. Hope that helps. Then he puts hashtag shh. Okay.
Nice. So then, nobody saw it then.
Right. So Sam
Charmian, you're trying not to expose too much.
So. Yeah, facts. ESPN analyst Shams Charania, definitely pronounced that right, says, King Center, Rashawn Holmes crossed the Disney campus line to pick up delivery food and must quarantine for 10 days. He has 8 days remaining.
Yo. Bro, that's actually Kelly's strategy to take down the other teams.
Get this. The cherry on top, Kelly Oubre tweets, "Never mind. LOL."
Yo.
Bro, I love that so much.
I was crying reading
That's
that.
That's nuts, though. Yeah, that is so crazy.
Yeah, is it strategic?
Probably. I'll take. There's no way,
dude.
He's trying to get traded. There's no way he would sabotage other teams that he could get traded to next season.
Yeah, but you think he wants to go to Sacramento?
Yeah. No, okay. True. Good point. Yeah. Are they? Do you know anything about testing? Like, how, are they getting tested every day, or is it like once they're in the bubble, they're good?
So once they're in the bubble, I'm pretty sure they're good. They have a ring that checks their temperature. It's some like $350 ring that every player wears. I know to go into the bubble, they had to get tested.
Gotcha.
Russell Westbrook tweeted today and said, "Hey, look, I'm in quarantine. I tested positive. I'll be back with my team."
Oh, gotcha.
My prediction or my assumption is James Harden has COVID as well because he's been MIA. Mm-hmm. That hasn't came out yet. I'm just assuming I haven't seen any videos of him within the bubble, nor have any analysts reported anything on him. And he's a top five player. Like, you're going to hear about James Harden.
Yeah. Bro, that's wild, though. It's so crazy that, like, literally the entire world's shutting down. And then for the NBA, it's like, obviously they're in this bubble that's, like, trash. But they get to play golf and, like, play basketball and get paid to do it.
I didn't know they could play golf.
Yeah, because the course is open there. So it's like, you can go play golf at the course.
Okay.
And then... I mean, granted, the food sounds pretty trash. It literally sounds like they're in prison, and then they just play basketball.
Yeah, dude. It's the women's NBA food is even worse. That's like another conversation. Dude, it's
that's
crazy.
Shady.
Mad shady.
Wait, are they in Orlando, too?
I guess, because I've been seeing their food. Like, I mean, I don't know much about the women's NBA, but I'm like, yeah, they must be there.
I love it. What were you saying, Jimmy?
Did you guys see that two players tested positive? Two NBA players tested positive inside the bubble.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was looking up some of the what Cody was talking about. And 4 hours ago, the NBA made a statement that they said, quote, "only two players out of 322 have tested positive inside the bubble."
That's so they are so testing.
Sketch. They have to be then at that point.
There's no way this season lasts.
Bro, that's the question that I was hearing somebody else talk to about the other day with like universities, where it's like obviously like it would be nice if universities could stay closed, but like the NCAA has said, well, if your university's closed, sports are closed. So then it's like, well, you make so much money off the sports teams for these universities. So then it's kind of like you got to, in some senses, it's like you've got to open up the school so then sports can happen and they can make their money. So it's like, is money going to drive this or how's that all going to like work, you know?
I'm not saying it's right, but I think it will. It's driven us so far, right?
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's wild, though.
Yeah, I don't think the NBA gets to the finals.
Well, I mean, man, if people are testing positive in the bubble already, that's wild. I would be so like triggered to be in that bubble and then somebody tests positive. And at that point, I'm like, just let me leave then and go get like whatever I'm trying to get so that, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing if I'm in the bubble and like everything's safe. But the moment somebody tests positive, I'm like, bro, let me go like get some food or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you have people like Russell Westbrook who they are positive right now and they're like, trying to get cleared as quickly as they can so that way they can like go be a part of it again.
Yeah.
So it's like even the people who are getting it, they're like, yeah, dude, like I'm just gonna freaking grind.
I guess that's a good point. That'll make it more interesting. You hit a 2-week quarantine and you just pray your team survives so you could join back in.
Bro, what a wild factor into a game. It's like who's like healthy.
Who can survive.
Yeah, dude.
I like it actually. I didn't think about that.
Yo, and I feel like the Suns, aren't they like notorious for their like training staff and stuff, so maybe they got some like anti-COVID tricks or something.
Yeah, I think you're onto something. We're gonna win.
That's how it works, right?
Yep.
I love it. All right, cool. First half. Last time we did the podcast, I was gonna say last week, but it's been like 7 months.
Yeah,
last time we did the podcast, I told the sick story. So this means that this time, Cody, first half, life changing story.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
All right. So when I was prepping.
Yeah.
First of all, your story was hilarious. Thank you. The audience that's listening, if you guys haven't heard it, go back. It's one of the most unreal. You're an idiot. One of the most unreal stories I've heard. But I don't think I'm going to go the humor route. I'm going to go something that's somewhat kind of plays a – well, it definitely plays a factor into today, but something that happened, I believe, 4 years ago.
Okay.
It was life-changing for me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware.
Okay.
At that moment. It was something you look back on, right?
Yeah.
And before we go into this, I would say anyone listening to use this with balance or listen with balance, I don't think we're here to shame someone else's opinion or to then convince you why I'm right in my thinking. And with that said, nor am I bashing any belief. Okay.
Yeah, so what a setup.
Yeah. let me disclose all of that. It's about to get hot. So I moved down to the first floor with one of my best friends. Okay.
In college.
I'm in Lewis Hall, which is a boy girls or what do you call it? It's
co-ed.
Thank you. Co-ed. Yeah,
thank you, Jimmy.
Was on fourth floor. That was like our floor. Moved down to first floor and I really didn't even live on campus, but at Evangel University, you have to have a dorm room. So in between classes, that's where I would go and hang out if I didn't have any plans, if I had to study, so on and so forth. Right. So I'm going down to first floor and it was definitely a younger crowd, and the way our dorms were set up, I was trying to do math, man. And I'm thinking there's at least 100 people on a floor. Okay. And maybe I'm crazy, but you have a long hallway and you have doors on both sides and it's just one after the other. And there's two people in a room.
Right.
I'm assuming it's like how Northwestern was.
Yeah. But it's like, it's like the two, and then you have a shared bathroom like in between.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have four dudes sharing a bathroom.
And then isn't it true? Crazy. I've heard stories about, doesn't the bathroom like lock from the outside?
Yo, how do you know all this?
Well, I mean, I lived in the area, but
that is true.
I heard stories about guys getting locked into the bathroom. What a design flaw.
No, like I take a shower in the morning and they lock the doors to be funny. And I am in there sitting on the toilet till lunchtime. Yeah, it's a thing. Sucks. That should have been my story right there.
Okay, sorry to hijack your story.
No, you're good. So this is going on during the election. Mm-hmm. And so then the Midwest is predominantly white. And definitely an Evangel, to take that a step further. Evangel has no minority professors, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's three minorities on the first floor, myself. Mm-hmm. The RA is one of my best friends, Phil, who's African American.
Yeah.
And there's a Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And they're on the other end of the hall. Didn't even know they talked politics. But I walk in and it was when Trump won the election.
Okay.
And if you know me, I always like, well, but I'll just stay in your lane. Like, do your own thing. Don't worry, blah, blah, blah. Well, there's like four or five dudes who are banging on his door and they're yelling, build the wall because Trump won the election.
No way.
And immediately in my head, I'm like, yo, you guys are kind of wilding right now. But I really, and this is like, I'm bummed about this, but I didn't think anything of it. Like, what a moment that could have been as a leader to step in and recognize what was going on.
Right.
I just didn't even process it.
Yeah.
And so fast forward, and don't want to spill too much beans, but I see a post on social media fairly recently from a family member and just seeing them even bring up that example. And it had nothing to do with him other than it happened to a family member, right? But how it definitely affected the family, what was going on. The crazy thing is they were all friends. Like that side of the hall, it was like 15 of them dudes and they were like inseparable.
Yeah.
So what I think was innocent created a place of pain.
Totally.
Right. To the point where it was exposed to family.
Yeah.
And so I, looking back at that situation, that's what I would say was life-changing. One is that how many times do I react to a situation without taking into consideration the effects it could have on someone else. I know it's definitely got kind of serious, but that's really like the last couple of weeks since I saw the post, that's really all I've been thinking about.
That's real.
And then definitely bummed, like what an opportunity, as I said, where I could have stepped in.
Right.
And I was an upperclassman at that point, and that was a underclassman. So
yeah. And you were yoked back then too, so you kind of could have pulled your own.
Clearly. Could have Jackie Chan some people.
Man, that's tough, man. I mean, I think that's been a lot of, you know, the last couple weeks and months. And mm-hmm. I mean, obviously our entire lives, but especially recently, is that whole thought of like, you know, you want to, you know, there's a principle in the church, in scripture where it says, you know, you want to speak truth, but you want to speak truth in love. And that yeah. truth outside of love is, you know, it's, mm-hmm. doesn't really matter.
Right. Right.
So that's been a lot of what I'm thinking through is like, you know, I want to speak in love and I want it to come from a place of love, but at the same time, I've got to speak truth. And so it's that kind of balance of like, how do I continue to love somebody and how do I continue to speak truth and do those things right. in tandem?
Yeah.
And I right. think not a lot of us are really great at doing those things kind of mm-hmm. together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that's good. I think we're really quick to react and then incredibly slow to respond.
Yeah.
And I think in response is when you take in consideration one, like you're saying, truth.
Yeah.
But also the emotions of what I'm about to do and how it could affect someone else.
Yeah. That's real. Yeah, so
I don't think it's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that story is perfect. Because obviously, so, you know, 7-second offense, we talk about, conversations that have changed the game. Mm-hmm. And, obviously for you, you know, looking back through social media, it's like you can get stuck in, you know, what I could have done and
right.
how I could have acted or where I could have been. But mm-hmm. through social media, which is what we're talking about today,
yeah.
In this second half, it's been a lot on my mind, especially as of late, because on one hand, social media is unreal. You know, it's the modern day printing press. Like I can get any idea out, you know, instantly into the world. Mm-hmm. And the other hand, it's created some things like everybody has to be an expert about everything, or at least we feel we do. Yeah. And everybody has a platform and some sort of a voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And some of those things, while I think, you know, can be good, I think can also cause some harm, and it puts a weird spot where, especially over, man, these last couple months and weeks, just like social media has dictated so much of yep. my mental space.
Yeah, yeah. It holds right? real estate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking a lot just about how we navigate it. And that's what I want to talk about today with both of you. And I'll open the floor to both of you. You know, how do we navigate a day and age of social media well? Because I think there are some things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there has to be, right? Like it's yeah. it's either we do or we don't. But
right.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? What's been your kind of, I don't know, outlook towards social media over especially these last couple of weeks?
You want to take the lead on that, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's just, I think that right now it's hard to be on.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think that people are so polarizing one way or the other mm-hmm. with, I mean, a lot of issues that are going on in the world.
Yeah.
But I think that what I find to be difficult is that people will see the things that you post mm-hmm. or the things that you choose not to post mm-hmm. as you taking a side or you mm-hmm. taking a stand.
Yeah.
And in reality, I think that certain people just simply hold a lot higher weight on social media than other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about like, you think about people who are like super like van life people who like have no social media presence like whatsoever. And yeah. it's like, they literally like couldn't care less.
Right.
And it's like, you have that. And it's like, if they don't post anything, I mean, like, obviously, you'd be surprised if they did post something.
Totally.
It reminds me of a friend that we went to school with in Missouri who, like, moved to Alaska and, like, became, yes. like, a fisherman yeah, yeah. or something. Yeah.
Makes racks.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah. You ever see The Deadliest Catch?
Yeah, 23 Discovery Channel, baby.
Bro, he's like that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah. But it's like he posts like once a year.
Okay.
But
because he's freaking making racks.
Yeah, and he's,
he's
in Alaska.
Too busy reaping in his money.
Alaskan
king. They don't have Wi-Fi. Like.
But I say all that because, you know, what I studied in school about like, you know, giving presentations or public speeches and things like that. Like, you can never not communicate. Hmm. Like, you could wear a plain t-shirt and that's going to speak volumes about who you are, whether you wanted to or not. And so, like, the more neutral you try to stay, the more of a statement that you end up making as a result. And so I find it tough because it's like, personally, I don't really get on social media a ton. It's never really, like, been my lane. So, like, I'm on it because, like, I've kind of had to for previous jobs. And also, like, it's nice to keep up with what's going on, like, in people's worlds. But I'm much more of, like, a lurker.
Right.
And so, like, sometimes I feel like I'm forced to, like, post stuff about things.
Right.
And so, in those moments, like, I get a bit anxious about it at first. But then I take a step back. And then I think about, like, I still want to be consistent with who I am. Mm-hmm. So, not that I don't want to be phased by the things that are going on in the world and pretend like they don't exist.
Yeah.
But what I've tried to do is, like, be much more aware of how much time I'm spending on social media.
Yeah.
Be like, am I spending more time than normal? And if so, then why?
Right.
Is this like,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Trying to process.
It's just like, it's just like with, you know, keeping up with the news or like anything, like there's always going to be some good information, but there's a lot of bad stuff that happens every day. Mm-hmm. And I think with all the stuff that's been going on, that's what people are pointing out. It's like, this is stuff that's like always happening.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it was the same approach that I had with like the news of like, I want to know what's going on and I want to be informed so I can help affect positive change.
Yeah.
But it's like, if that's all I ever do, like, I mean, I was having a conversation with Theo the other day about like, there's so much stuff that's just like out of my control.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to go crazy, like trying to be in control of it.
Yeah. Right,
and so it's like trying to like, one, like know what's in my control to change, or, like what I could be a part of, but then also just knowing like, I don't want it to like consume my life.
Right.
So it's like, I try to like think back of like when things were like, when I felt like I had a good grasp on social media or like, you know, over like different areas of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. To that point, I was listening to a podcast last week and they were saying everything about me says everything about me. So, you know, to your point of like everything about me. So the hat that I have on my head,
right,
the hockey jersey that I'm wearing when I don't care about hockey at all. And it's 112 degrees outside in Phoenix. Like the things that I post on social media, the things that I don't post on social media. Like when I walk into a room, everything about me says everything about me.
That's good. So I like that.
To your point, Jimmy, it's a great point. Like by saying something, you're saying something. By not saying something, you're saying something. By being on social media, you're saying something. By getting off of it, you're saying something. Like everything you're doing, saying something. And so, you know, you have the whole argument of like, well, I just don't want people to judge me. Mm-hmm. Everybody's judging you all the time.
Yep.
Right. So it's like, yeah, you know, if less people are watching you, then for sure, like you're going to get judged less. But the truth of the matter is like everything about me says everything about me.
Right.
So like not getting judged isn't fully an option. I don't feel as much like the option is like, you know, what am I going to be okay to stand behind in what I'm going to get judged about?
Yeah.
Right.
So what do you think of Cody?
Yeah. Social media is tricky. I think I'm probably the last year. And as of lately, since COVID, I'm recognizing how unhealthy social media is for me. Mm-hmm. I've more so been taking a couple approaches about it. Really, I'd like to say I always have, but really because of this podcast, when it comes to research,
right.
I've been looking at like the addictive side of social media and how your brain has a reward system,
right?
Or it releases dopamines
right.
when you feel good. But social media is releasing the same amount of dopamines that cocaine is. So there's what you have with a fellow who abuses substances,
right?
You have the same ideology or whatever with your 14-year-old youth student who's addicted to Instagram.
Totally.
They're the same amount of dopamine is being released. And so I almost think you got to start when it comes to social media and how we approach it. Mm-hmm. I think you got to start from square one and recognize that I think we're just like cavemen. So cavemen, when they started making a fire,
Yeah.
I would assume they abused fire.
Yeah.
It was new. They were probably throwing at each other. They were playing with it. They didn't know how to maintain this great thing.
Yeah.
And I think for us millennials, we jumped into social media sprinting.
Yeah.
But no leader ever taught us how to walk with it.
Hmm.
And so like something in my business that I'm really, really passionate about and we're constantly changing. We have our foundation, but systems.
Yeah.
Systems are the most important thing. And if we don't have systems, we're going to fail and might as well everyone walk out the door right now.
Totally.
So I don't think we have systems when it comes to social media.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think we've gone ourselves into a lot of trouble with that when it comes to abusing, when it comes to self-worth.
Yeah.
There's a link that we could put even in the digital library and social media users. And for the ones who you would think are addicted, they're the ones who show a low self-esteem. And then if you want to take that in a totally different direction, the average person talks about themselves like 30%. Social media, you talk about yourself 80%.
Totally.
Well, in our world, it's never about us.
Right.
Right?
Right, right, right.
But what would you argue? I would argue that the organization where social media is most important is the church. Sure. And I would also argue that the church uses social media probably the most than any other business, quote unquote business. Who knows how true that is. Take that with a light grain of salt. clearly it's opinion, but I think it's just something to think about that we got to scratch the platform.
Yeah.
Start over, bring in systems on how to maintain our use of social media. And then I think as consumers we'll handle it in a healthy manner.
Yeah.
And then have a platform.
Yeah.
And have a voice to use.
Yeah.
I think Chad Veach is like the man to look at when it comes to social media, and he talks about it, his use of social media and when he uses it and when he doesn't, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, I know for me, it's, if I were to look at my usage of social media, my numbers are astronomical.
For sure. Yeah. So I was listening, part of the reason I wanted to have this podcast is I was listening to the Joe Rogan Experience. And it was an episode with a guy called Alan Levinovitz, who is a religious studies scholar, and wrote a book about kind of, it's called Natural. It's basically on this idea of like things being natural or unnatural, and this idea that sometimes we can pursue like the natural thing is better. And he's like, well, that's not always necessarily true. Sometimes like the thing that we create and manufacture ends up being more effective. So it's like there's this like pursuit for natural, and his argument is, well, I mean, I think it's just what works, right? That's not why I'm talking about this. The reason I'm talking about this and we'll link it in the show notes, but basically he talks about Coca-Cola, right? So first off, Coca-Cola, you know, obviously when it started, I guess not obviously, but it started, they put Coke in it, like the drug Coke. Right. Which is an effective way of getting people to want your product, I will say. So, I mean, to be fair, it works.
Business model.
Yeah. Basically, like, as obviously they, you know, pulled back from doing that strategy, their experts kind of, or their media team and marketing team came in, and they had this idea called stomach share. So the thought is your stomach has a certain amount of space, right? And some of that space is going to go to water. Some of it's going to go to like chicken. Some of it's going to go to salad. Some of it's going to go to M&Ms. But like it has a certain amount of space. Okay. And their question that they asked was, how can we get the most stomach share full of Coca-Cola? Which to me is like a psychopathic way to think about something. Like, right. What?
Yeah, that's wild.
But that would be one a good, like, you remember that TikTok thing that was like, you know, normal versus psychopathic? It's like someone like eating food and they're like, this is 12% of my stomach share. It's like psychopathic way, right?
Right, right, right.
But essentially, like, his argument is, like, it worked. Like, you look at schools all across the United States and they've got Coke and vending machines. Like, yeah. How unreal is that, right? I mean, it's just a common product. And so, his kind of argument is the same principles were how Twitter was founded. Is if you have a mental space, right, that can only process a certain amount of content. Twitter says, how can I fill your mental space? You know, you have the whole like when your phone goes off or you think it goes off and you go to grab it and then it's like, yep, didn't go off. You are addicted to your phone.
Right.
And so it's like, if this same like addictive idea or like company that used a drug to get you involved in drinking their product, it's the same thing with Twitter. Like, we want to get you addicted. Right. And so I think to your point, Cody, it's a dopamine release. It's addictive. And if we don't have some sort of system in play, I think we are going to get messed
we're
up
doomed.
For sure.
Yeah. We're going to follow this path we're on.
Right.
What was that?
You want to know something crazy that I learned about relationships too on social media?
Yes.
So I studied this in school, and even recently, as of last year, there was a study done that showed that people who, like couples who post together, like the more that they post, they're more likely to be insecure about the relationship.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not kidding. Sorry.
Okay. Is there like a reasoning behind that?
Yeah. So this one that was done last year, I was reading up on it. It was done exclusively on Facebook couples, but I've studied, you know, all sorts of different relationships. Sorry, that sounds like really creepy.
Yeah. I was going to hold it back.
It's worth noting that I studied communication. So I studied, you know, people communicating with one another. I'm just going to throw that out there. But basically what the study found was that people associated posting about their partner in a positive way because it meets a need of belonging and feeling connected to someone. And the caveat to that is that as people cross the threshold of they show more affection for their partner on social media publicly than they do privately offline, then that's pretty much like a guaranteed, like, it's like not going to be
a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
And I think it's so real. It's what we've been experiencing this last couple of weeks is it's like, I know that there's an issue and I know that I am expected to post about it. And so it's like, I have to say something, but it's like, we end up getting people, like you were kind of saying earlier, Jimmy, you end up getting people where we like post about it and we care about it. But it's like we're kind of forced to post more than like we're talking about it in other spaces and other circles. And this podcast with Alan, he basically pulls it out of social media and says, okay, now I think that this is more of an information issue. So the metaphor that he uses is this: you have the United States who has this fast food boom, and we like start eating only processed food, right? And we get really fat and we get really tired and we get really unhealthy really quickly because we're only eating, you know, fast food meals.
Right.
And he makes it comparable to information and says what we're finding ourselves in is an age where we are only eating processed information or taking in processed information rather than learning to think for ourselves or in the metaphor cook for yourself.
Right.
And have more healthy, long form, complex, unique views on a situation. Right. So it's like, I'll watch a 30-second video about a politician knowing nothing about them. And then it's like, oh, that politician is a good person because he said that one thing. Or that politician is a giant idiot because he said that one thing. Or it's like, no, it's a lot more complex than that. Especially as a Christian, like very much more complex than that.
Right.
And so just kind of the process. And I think the thing that I'm realizing and wanting to do a better job is seeing processed information from like a long way off and recognizing like, if I just consume that, my soul is going to be damaged.
Yeah.
And if I want to have a healthy soul, then I have to have healthy information that I'm taking in.
Right. Yeah. That holds a lot of weight. Processed information.
Yeah.
I think, now that you say that, it's like, that makes so much sense. I think every night I find myself down a rabbit hole of watching incredibly negative videos.
Yeah.
30 seconds to 10 minutes of you name it. But a lot of it right now is like a lot of police brutality. I'm consuming that and it's very real. So I'm not disregarding that, but I'm consuming really quick such negativity.
Right.
This is the most cynical I've ever been. And I would link that one, to now what you're saying, it was social media, but then to take that into a further step, it's, I'm just consuming really, really quick.
Right.
Social media from online, and I don't know how to handle it, maintain it, yeah, or recognize what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's a really crazy perspective.
Yeah. And I think that that's definitely what I'm thinking. And when we go, mm-hmm, back to the thing, the point that both of you are making of systems, we have to have, like, right, we've got to have a structure in place of, like, cause here's the thing. Social media is awesome. Like, amazing, super awesome. I know this, mm-hmm, podcast is like, dude, social media is great. Mm-hmm. Like the fact, yeah, that I can just stay connected with people across the world, mm-hmm, like that, like, is,
right,
unreal.
Yeah.
So, oh, I, yeah, love social media. I do. And this is, you talk about systems. This is one of the systems that I have in place in my life. Mm-hmm. The month of January every year, I hop off social media just to, right, kind of, I don't, detox, know, purge myself and detox. And I can tell you at the end of that month every year, I do feel better,
mm-hmm,
for sure.
Really? Really?
I have noticed, I will say that the first year I did it, I was like, I feel so much better. Like, social media was a cesspool in my life. But the more that I do it, like every year, the more that when I come back into it, like, and pick social media back up, I almost learn like a new thing about myself and my relationship to social media.
Really?
So for example, like the first year I did it, mm-hmm, I was probably just on social media like whenever I wanted to be.
Right.
So then I get off of it and I'm like, I feel great. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine it's like the equivalence of like, if I'm gluten intolerant and then I just stop eating gluten, I'm like, why have I not been doing this my whole life? Right.
Yeah.
So then I get back on, the rest of the year that goes by, the second year comes around and it's like, I get off again. And again, I feel better. But when I got back on, what I did was I basically set myself a parameter during the day to like, this is my social media time. Now I know this gets real extreme. I mean, I've heard of it to where you have 1 hour a day. And it's, mm-hmm, like, that's your social media hour, which, right, you know, if you can do it, do it. But basically I'm 8 o'clock at night is like the latest that I'll go. Mm-hmm. And then 9 o'clock, which I get to work by 8:30, but 9 o'clock in the morning is the earliest I go. So basically I have like 4-ish hours after work. And then the only time I'm on social media at work is for work.
Right.
So you're really looking at 4 hours a day that I'm genuinely like have the potential to be on it.
Right, right.
Bro, I found that was like, that game was changing, the key for me. Oh, yeah. Because it's, yeah, it's like, I get on, and if I get on, it's like, I have a purpose for it.
Right.
But then it's like, when I'm off, I'm like, well, and I have the iPhone where it just like, I say I have the iPhone, like I have some sort of exclusive iPhone. Right, right, right. I have the setting on my iPhone where it like, it'll just straight up lock me out.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, done for the night.
Right.
And at first it, right, sucked, but after a while you're like, no, this is great. This is the way to do it. Mm.
You could feel it emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah. So I will say this. So firm believer that, mm-hmm, as humans, we have a mind, we have a body, but we have a soul.
Right.
And the soul, and you can look all throughout scripture. It's a complex word in Hebrew. It's ruach. And basically the soul can, you can do things to your soul, right? Mm. So you can like grieve your soul. You can encourage your soul. You can anger your soul. You can attack your soul. You can do things to your soul. I believe if we only take in processed information, we're draining our souls.
Mm.
And what people aren't recognizing is they do have a soul. Their soul is being drained. And that's why they're feeling this anger, frustration, weight, like all these things. And don't get me wrong, injustice should make us upset.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Right, right, right.
Angry, yeah, about injustice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But I should also not want to go like murder and attack random people,
right,
that I don't know or don't have relationship with, or, mm-hmm, I've seen one 30-second clip of,
right,
because I watched some like guy punch another guy on a bus.
Yeah, right.
Does that,
right,
make sense?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's been. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to go off of that just a little bit because. Yeah. I don't practice what Theo does in January, but as someone who's been on the other end of it, mm-hmm, so if you've ever wondered of like, yeah, everyone is just going to think that that's like weird or dumb or like, you know, how am I going to stay connected with people? Like there's so many things that I've wanted to send him, whether it was something on Instagram or like a funny video that I would want to send it, and then I'm like, oh yeah, he's not gonna see it for like a few weeks, and I'm like, it's not even gonna make sense at that point. Mm-hmm. But then it like it gets me thinking. I'm like, this isn't even a big deal. Mm. And then
that's interesting.
I think about it, and I'm like, how many times during the day do I send him like random stuff? And like, you know, it's just like,
right.
Sometimes it's important stuff, but right. Most of the time it's just like, it's a funny, like it's a freaking tweet from Kelly Oubre or, you know, it's something like that.
I see
like,
what you're saying. You know, right, right, right. Yeah.
Like the thing is like, we like laugh about that. But the thing is like, if none of us read that or like we weren't able to share that, it's not going to like be a major impact on our life.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think for me, it's kind of like the residual of what Theo's been practicing is it makes me think more critically about like, what are the things that I'm consuming and like, why do I want to share this with them?
Yeah. Bro, that's good. Like, yeah.
That's so you have the phrase like knowledge is power, which the genesis of the phrase so real, like so true. I mean, yeah, as a member of the Protestant church, like I'm a firm believer that knowledge is power, right? But there's an unhealthy side to that. We don't have to know everything.
Right.
Like I don't need to know that like in the podcast, Joe Rogan's talking and he's like, yeah, I watched this video this morning of a bus driver and he like body slammed this dude. And the Alan Levinovitz is like, why did you need to know that?
Right.
Like you don't need to know that. And dude, I've been so convicted lately because I'm like, I want to know that video or I want to watch that thing. Or dude, how many times does somebody say something and you feel uncomfortable because like you don't know what they're talking about? And you're like, I know I need to have an opinion on this, but shoot, can I get away with like looking on my phone real quick on Google? Like, what's that word mean? you don't need to know everything. Like we've lost a place in society and culture where we can just say like, I don't know. So like you could tell me what you think, but like I just don't have an opinion because I just don't know.
Huh. We're addicted to being woke. Yeah. But for real, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I don't need to know everything.
And I think that's like into this conversation. And Jimmy, I'm really glad you brought that up. Like that's what it comes down to, man. Like, yeah, a lot of this stuff makes our life better. Like we wouldn't have had an introduction segment in this podcast unless we knew about that tweet. So like a lot of this information like makes our life better. Also, I don't need to know. So I think that's a lot of social media too, is it's like, it gives us access to information and enters us into conversations that we wouldn't have access to if we didn't have that information. But also like, we just need to remember that at the end of the day, like it's cool if you don't know, man, like I'm not gonna be mad at you for not knowing. Right. And I think, you know, and there's certain topics like we should know about. But then there's a lot of stuff that it's just like, I mean, I'm good if I
don't
know, man.
So I think we could all agree then, as like we've been trying to even discuss this together on how to handle this. It's one, like systems are huge, right? I think then what you were saying earlier and help me out here, it's almost, you were talking about like recognizing.
Yeah. Recognizing process information.
Thank you. Recognizing process information is key.
Yeah.
And then your third point right there, what Jimmy was talking about, is I don't need to know everything.
Yeah.
And those three things, I think that's huge.
Let's be big dumb. It's like,
X.
I think a lot, and especially growing up, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, you have Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And like the whole thing is they don't know everything.
Right.
And then they get to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you aren't familiar with the story. And basically the idea is that like if they ate this fruit, then they would know everything. And I always remember reading that story growing up and being like, man, God was kind of like shady for not just like letting them know. You know what I mean? I was like, Cody, I just remember always reading it and being like, to be honest, I mean, I want to eat from the tree too. Cause like, why wouldn't I want to know stuff? And then I remember thinking like, can they even really love God if they like don't know everything about it? Just a lot of questions that like it comes up. And I think the more, especially in this gnarly time we live in, but just the more I get older, the more I'm like, nah, to be honest, like it's okay if there's certain stuff that I just don't know about, because I realize I'm way happier about it. Yeah. Now, let's say that as we're talking about this, I recognize like the conversation of race and prejudice has been a hot topic in the last couple of months. There are certain things like, again, you can't be ignorant about, So mm-hmm. like, that's not what I'm talking about right now.
Right, right.
I want to make that very clear. I recognize as a white man, I can very easily close down the conversation and walk away from my white privilege. Like, and I recognize mm-hmm. I have white privilege, but I'm saying walk away from a conversation regarding race. That's not mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just this idea that like, there's a lot of like snippet video things where I can like, oh, I hate that guy or I hate that mm-hmm. woman. Like she's the worst. And I'm like, oh, or I could just not watch that. And then when I meet them, I'm like, hey, tell me about yourself. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just such a, I don't know. Right now it seems like a countercultural idea that I think needs to be pushed a whole lot more.
That got me fired up, the Genesis comparison to what you two were talking about with knowledge. I think that's huge. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. And I think it comes to really, and if you're listening to this, you're like, how do I create social media systems? Mm-hmm. Seriously, and this isn't like a cute little podcast ending that I'm making right now. Genuinely, sit down with some friends and just start talking about it. I'll say this, sit down with some friends with the common understanding that none of you maybe know the best answer and just start to figure it out together.
Right.
Wrestle with it together.
Yeah.
Because it's like, just because I do it in January, like, doesn't mean Cody's going to do the same thing or Jimmy's going to do the same thing.
Right.
And
right.
in the same vein, I literally have never heard that perspective from Jimmy and haven't heard your perspective, Cody, and I can pick up things and we can come together to a consensus and say, hey, this is how we're going to move forward and what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Any other lasting thoughts, wisdom you want to impart on the people?
No, that was...
If you want more wisdom, check out our digital library. It is chock
there it is.
Full there it is. Of amazing resources that will change the way you see the world. Cody, Jimmy, it's been a pleasure.
Theo, it's been fun. Jimmy, first episode.
Bro.
Yo, man. Our YouTube views are about to spike because Jimmy's beautiful face is on this thing.
Jim Ladd.
Hey, love you guys.
Love
we
you.
Will hopefully see you next week. Thanks for listening to the pod. As always, peace.